You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
I spoke with Michael Burnett from the Brothers Green down in Christchurch on the reaction to their cannabis farm in North Canterbury, as well as the benefits of growing hemp in New Zealand, both in terms of sustainability and environmental impacts. I also asked Michael what he believes the future holds with the upcoming cannabis referendum in September.
Thanks a lot for joining me. What is the Brothers Green?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So the Brothers Green is a hemp company based in Canterbury. So started off as a little market stall at the Riccarton Farmers Market about sort of 2.5, 3 years ago. A couple of mates of mine, Brad Lake and Brendan McIntosh, and pretty much it started off trying to source, you know, natural New Zealand hemp. And originally in the form of just protein powder, at that stage we weren't even allowed to sell it to humans. We sort of put on the packaging that it was for animal consumption only, and heaps of restrictions back then. But we've grown it into trying to offer different value-add food products to the New Zealand market and really get people thinking about their health, thinking about how their diet affects their health. A big part of what we're doing is trying to offer farmers in New Zealand just another crop option to grow in the form of hemp. So that's, yeah, that's the Brothers Green.
And are you now growing the hemp yourself?
Yeah, so we've set up a bit of a complicated business structure for the long term. We'll see if it works. But through a sort of sister company, which we've named Mainland Hemp, Mainland Hemp is our, I suppose, arm of our business that does growing, gets other farmers to contract grow for us, and then also now processes post-harvest the hemp into a form that then comes to the Brothers Green, and then we do value-add food products with it. So yeah, Mainland Hemp, the part of our business, is based in Culverton in North Canterbury there.
Now, I am actually from North Canterbury myself, and from what I know, there's not a lot of cannabis farms up that way. What's the reaction been like from other farmers? Have they been interested in growing it themselves, or are they a bit stuck in their ways? Are they a bit against it?
No, it's an interesting question. Often people think, yeah, farmers would be quite old school, quite conservative and stuck in their ways, and be quite, I suppose, adverse to something with all the stigma like cannabis has, but we haven't found that at all. It's probably the intention that we go into conversations with, though. We if we talk to a farmer in North Canterbury, we say to them, hey, we've got a crop, we think its yield is going to be this much, we're paying this much for seed, it does this to your soil, and you can incorporate it into your crop rotational system like this. It's a summer crop, it needs this much water, this much light. That's the conversation we're having with farmers. So we haven't found any sort of conservative pushback against that. We've had really good reactions. So we've got about 10 growers for us that grew our first growing season this last summer. So that was 8 or 9 just family farms. Sam, his family, who is part of our business, and then Naitahu are growing for us as well. So we haven't had any sort of conservative pushback or stigma. We find farmers are very open to different crops and new ways of incorporating like an environmentally friendly plant into their farming business system. So we've had really good interaction with farmers in response so far.
Touched a little bit on water consumption. When you compare it to other things, say like dairy farming or other crops, what's the water consumption like?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a complicated question in the fact that depending on where you're farming, how intensive your dairy system would be or your cropping system is going to depend. There's so many factors involved in your water usage, but as a general rule of thumb, hemp needs very little water. It's got a very deep tap root, so if you pull out a hemp plant, which we have done, and we've got, you know, photos and videos of doing it, the root that's the part of the plant below the surface that reaches down into the soil to gather nutrients and water is very, very long, so it's pretty drought resistant and hardy. We did have a couple of farms that grew a crop of hemp with no irrigation at all this last summer. The yields were a bit down and we're sort of playing with that, so it does need a little bit of water. But the good thing about North Canterbury is water's readily available and relatively cheap compared to a lot of other irrigated parts of the country. But in terms of water usage itself, it needs bugger all compared to, say, if you were running cows or other sorts of crops on it in more of an intensive structure. So it fits in quite nicely to a farmer looking to become more environmentally friendly, looking to use more water. Yeah, so it's been really good like that. So, I mean, the short answer is it needs a lot less water than a lot of other farming systems, I suppose.
There's an upcoming cannabis referendum coming up in September. If it is successful when it goes through, would you look at growing the cannabis and selling it for other purposes? And if you are doing that, do you foresee some pretty strict restrictions coming in from the government?
Yeah, the referendum needs to go through. I mean, for us, there's so many benefits both as a business and just our view on just a natural plant that can be used in so many different ways. And the benefit of if the referendum does go through is it's everything about it, the THC side of the plant, the cannabis that most people know with the THC side, it'll be regulated and there'll be structure put around it and there'll be control and there'll be education and all sorts of things. So, I mean, there can only be benefit. But as for us as a company, the Brothers Green, we're not going to do anything with the THC cannabis plant. We're just going to stick to hemp. But ideally, further down the track, if this referendum passes, it's going to open up more avenues to use the remainder of the hemp plant for us. So at the moment, we're only allowed to use the seed of the hemp plant in our food, which is about, I don't know, 5, 10, 15% of the biomass of the entire plant. We can't use the roots, we can't use the stalk, we can't use the leaves or the flowers. And in the hemp plant, the versions, the breed or species that we're growing, there's a lot of benefit properties like CBD in the roots and the plant of the plant and the leaves and the flowers. So if we could use those sort of parts and incorporate them into food products, because we're just going to stick to food products, that's where some real benefit down the track in the future could be. But there's still going to be a lot of, it's not going to happen overnight. There's still going to be a lot of restriction. And yeah, it is a bit of wait and see for us. And once the referendum passes, what is it going to look like for the CBD side and what we can do with that? Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And hopefully if it does pass, it's not going to drag out and take bloody ages for those regulations to come in. Exactly. If it does go through, do you think farmers will then adapt and start growing it themselves? Or do you see a lot of new farms popping up strictly for, you know, that purpose of growing cannabis?
Yeah, that's a... It's going to be interesting what happens when everything does open up. The side of it with CBD and THC, I suppose medicinal marijuana and the like we've seen in the US and Canada, you can be a lot more intensive, and we probably will see companies, we already are seeing some of them get research grants and that sort of thing, and they're bigger companies with big investment behind them. And some of those sort of companies will look at just purely growing, setting up a farm and just growing for medicinal or just growing for CBD. That'll definitely happen. But as for the general farming population, and I suppose one good thing if a referendum passes, awareness will grow. You know, it will remove some of that overall stigma. And a lot of farmers just don't know out there that hemp's an option and what the returns are and how to incorporate it into your system and the benefits for the environment. The other thing is we're finding is it's all well and good to say, yeah, grow hemp, it does this, but you need a market for it. So that's, I suppose, what we're doing. We need to be able to create value-add products to then sell overseas. You need a market. You need money flowing backwards towards the farmer to make it viable to grow it. Because at the moment, we do have a lot of interest for growing, but we're already at our limit at the moment. 10 farms is enough for us to, I mean, we've got a lot of hemp to sell, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, there's pros and cons and, I suppose, different opportunities for different businesses to get into different parts of the plant post-referendum, yeah.
You mentioned Ngāi Tahu before and working with them with growing. Yeah. So what is your relationship with local wee wee? Are they quite interested in growing it themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the commercial side, we're very, very much engaged with Ngāi Tahu. We've got some good contacts there, and they're very interested to find different environmentally friendly options to use their land. The good thing about Ngāi Tahu is not only do they have commercial goals, but throughout their business models, they've got values that come to the fore that say, you know, we don't want any more cows now, or we want to improve the quality of our rivers. So we're seeing Ngāi Tahu engage with us directly. So they're growing for us themselves a crop. They've been out to see us, various representatives of them on their commercial side a few times now. And then I suppose on the iwi side, the non-commercial side, Brendan, my business partner, he is Kai Tahu, so he's actually got a side gig. He's a pharmacist, so he's got a thing called the Kia Kaha Chemist, where he's constantly engaging with Kamatua, going out to Marae and talking to them about the pharmaceutical model and helping with prescriptions and that sort of thing. So he's constantly doing a lot of that. So we've seen a lot of appetite for iwi members just looking for ways to take sort of sovereignty, rangatiratanga, of their own health and well-being, and as well as that, if they've got land, you know, a lot of interest, can we grow it? So yeah, we're constantly engaging, and that's a big goal of our business, to give back to our community in that manner.
What's your vision for the future? If everything goes well and the referendum passes and it becomes, it's legalised, can you see New Zealand really adopting that 100% green tagline we came up with a few years ago and making cannabis one of our major crops?
Absolutely. I suppose from an agricultural perspective, paradigm, our vision for New Zealand would be that where the local climate conditions, soil types permit, hemp is at the top of the list for farmers in terms of what can I grow this year. So we don't see entire farms just growing hemp, because then you're going to your monocrop, which brings its own environmental effects and results, and as well as that, your whole business model is just reliant on one income stream. So we more see any type of farm throughout the country where it's, local conditions permit, whether you're a dairy farm, a sheep and beef farm, a cropping farm, whatever, you have the option and the market to be able to grow and sell hemp, and for businesses to be able to buy the entire plant off you and use that, which will then result in more income for the family farmer. So that's sort of where we see that happening. And I mean, hemp itself fixes nitrogen, fixes carbon. It's a great carbon sequesterer. So I mean, there's a lot of debate in the agricultural world at the moment in New Zealand about how the effects of planting pines are taking over sheep and beef farms and lowering the amount of jobs available and that sort of thing. So we see hemp as a real viable alternative to, say, planting pines or something to reduce our carbon footprint as a country. So, yeah, that's on the agricultural side. And then I suppose our social license or our mission is to, completely eliminate chronic disease in New Zealand and teach people how to eat properly, what foods are anti-inflammatory, what foods you need to restrict or eat less of. So that's a big part of what we want to do. And we're actually putting 10% of all our profits to a retreat wellness sort of program that we're looking to sponsor people who need it to go get together, get taught how to eat properly, how to take control, like I talked about earlier, and responsibility for your own health. So we've got a few different missions overlapping there. Hope that answers your question.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.